All right. Hey, guys. This is Graciela.
This is Patty.
Welcome to Side Talks.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Finally, we're here, guys.
It has been so long.
It's been a
excuse the delay, but here we are, and we're ready to give you what you've been waiting for.
I was really about to do the poof. I almost did the poof.
It's every time.
Bro, I listened back to the other Side Talks, and I'm like, I gotta stop doing that. I gotta stop. It's too much.
You know, it's a tradition.
It is.
So...
sorry, guys. It's been a while since we've done this.
Yeah, if we seem rusty, it is correct.
It's because we are.
Because we are.
We literally had to do one take, and then Patty is doing improv. So she had a whole No, I was going to say icebreaker.
I don't know.
What is it called?
One of those theater.
A warm-up.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was a good one. And then we had a little bit of wine. And then... Now we're here. So today, obviously, if this is your first time coming on the podcast, this is called Our Side Talks. And our tagline for it is, we're very proud of, is this is where we talk through our perspectives from the sidelines. So basically, every single interview, we really like to take our takeaways from it and just also talk about us and as people and how it affected us and how we're thinking through things and what's going on in our lives and also what's going on in the industry. And it just kind of touches on a lot of things. But I think the purpose of it is to really go back into the interview, listen to the interview with a lot of intention, and then come back with a list of things that we learned from it. And so in this side talk, we're going to be talking about Eric Gilby's side talk. But before we get into it.
Right.
What we always do is an icebreaker. So now is the time to do this. And today is very special because I'm looking over to my right, my left. I don't know, right and left. I'm looking over to my left and there is a special guest, Casey Parales, which if you remember, she was on episode one.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. This is a full circle moment.
I know. It's full circle. She is now creative director. She has been like...
of the podcast.
Yeah, of the freaking podcast.
To clarify.
She is creative director of her life.
Of all time.
Yeah, all time. So say hello, Casey.
Well, hi, everyone. I'm honored to be here and to have joined the team. So happy.
We're so happy you're here.
Casey's been killing it.
She really has.
She's going to be pulling out content left and right. Yeah. Get ready.
Get ready
to see it. You're going to be seeing our faces more now. Not just our voices, our faces.
Our faces.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm excited. Casey's been doing an excellent job. You can thank her for making the logo. She did awesome. Like, we were sitting here on the couch just watching her do her little thingy, and she whipped it up. And it was, it's just been wonderful. It's been wonderful. How are you doing, Casey?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be back. I think no one's heard my voice in a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm working behind the scenes a lot, so... I'm really excited to be here in your ears.
Well, Casey's here today because she's going to ask us a few icebreaker questions. And so she's going to ask us, you know, a couple, and then we're going to dive right into like the deets.
The meat.
So, yeah. Go ahead, Casey.
Let's get started.
Let's get started.
So... with a heavy one. We're going to start off with a heavy one.
Okay.
All right. Snap. What are your irrational fears?
Okay.
You
want to go first? I can go
pretty
first.
Pretty straightforward. Go.
Mine is pretty silly, but whenever I draw like a smiley face, the eyes make me really uncomfortable. Like drawing eyes, like I don't. Every time I draw them, I'm always like, I can get over it. And I draw it and then I'm like, no, get over it. Like scribble over it. I can't look at it. Like they're
what
looking
the
at me. I don't know. I don't
That's
like
weird.
It.
That's weird. That's irrational.
It's irrational.
It's very irrational.
But it's also very real fear. So let's not make fun because it's intense.
Okay. I won't make fun.
Mm-hmm.
But where did this come from? Like, what's the stem of this?
I don't know. But I think like ever since I was a kid, like I would doodle a lot in school.
Yeah.
And I only ever drew faces from like the chin down, like lip down. I never really drew faces. And then when I started like drawing like smiley faces and things like with circle-y eyes that look more like eyes, they just started to make me feel weird. Like they make me uncomfortable.
But sometimes like I see what you mean because sometimes like when it comes to a simple smiley face, the abstract, like, it reads. I heard that, like, our brain fills in information, mm-hmm. like, that's not there. So if you do, like, a smiley face and if you have, like, weird eyes, your brain's trying to, like, fill in gaps. So it's probably just, like, your brain's just, like, what the heck is this? Are these eyes communicating? Or, like, what are they trying to communicate? Mm-hmm. Or, like, where are they looking? Where are they going?
Yeah. I feel like part of it is, like, I have this fear that I'm opening this realm through these eyes and it's like going to come alive and something's going to happen.
Wow.
So.
So, yeah.
So that's a little something about me.
You learn new things every day. Yeah. Patty. Wow.
Way to break the ice on that
one. Yeah.
Really
yeah.
So heavy. Break the ice.
We opened up. We opened up.
I don't think I can top that. Like, I had like a very, very conventional, irrational fear. Yeah, spiders is one, but like roaches, obviously everyone has those, but mm-hmm. like I didn't know that I was really scared of roller coasters. Like I didn't know that I was really scared of heights and like drops and anything like that. It wasn't until like the very first time I took a roller coaster, my dad took me on the, it used to be called like the Fire and Ice.
Oh, like the Dueling Dragons?
Yes.
So good. R.I.P. So,
that was literally, yeah, R.I.P. Mm. I didn't know. Well, actually, no. I hope it dies and just dies forever. Okay. I'll tell you why. Because I was like the minimum age to do it. And I think I took like the Fire or something. Mm-hmm. And it was my very first roller coaster. And I was like yay high. Like I was really, really, really short and small. And I'm like, what's a roller coaster? And I rode on it. And the whole time I was like blood curdling screams. And I was like, take me out, take me out, take me. He's like, hey, hey, hey. My dad's having a great time. And I'm like, I'm going to die. And when we get off, like, I am crying and crying and crying. It was traumatic. Never, ever again. The second time.
Oh, okay. So not.
It's leading to summer. Again. Well, I told myself never, never again.
Right.
And then what had happened was a cousin of mine was like on her birthday. And she invited, you know, a bunch of her cousins. And I went and a bunch of her friends. And I don't know these girls, but I was telling them about my fear. I was like, I really hate roller coasters. I'll never do it again. I haven't ridden one since I was like a baby, you know? And they're like, oh, you should really go with this one. It's great because there's no drop, but it's great intro.
Mm-hmm.
I see you squinting your eyes.
I see where this is going.
You know?
Yeah.
So then I was like, all right, sounds good. And then we get there and we're rising up. Like on like in a line and we're going up the line. I'm like, this is very high, like we're going up very high, this is odd. I'm like, whatever, I'm not scared at all, you know, no drops, I could do it. And then we finally get there, we get on the roller coaster and it goes tick 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 up to the very, very tippy top. And I'm like, oh wow, it's so pretty. And then I realize at that very moment that there was a drop. And it was a very, very high drop. Well, a very, very high top to the drop.
Mm-hmm.
And I look over at them and I'm like, guys, you said there was no drop. And they start laughing.
Wait, who are these girls again?
They were friends of my cousins.
Okay.
Girl, never trust it again.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't like them.
I don't like them either.
I don't like that.
I love my cousin, but I don't like them. Like, I looked into like, and then I was like,
are you younger than your cousin?
Yes.
So you're like the baby and they're all making fun of you.
Yes.
It's very typical. Okay.
Well, it is very typical.
That's a shame. But okay. And then.
And then, yeah, then we dropped and it was terrifying. And then after that, they told me to do the tubing thing. It was like the tornado where you like go like this.
Oh,
like
yeah.
This. Mm-hmm. And then I panicked. Like I never had panic attacks ever in my life. But before we got onto there, I was like, no. And I'm crying and the guy pushes me in. Yeah, so.
Did I say what?
I know.
This is too much.
I know. It's too much.
It's too much.
It's just too much. So, long story short, I hate roller coasters.
And also traitors.
And traitors. And liars.
And backstabbers. And people that throw you on roller coasters.
And pushers. Pushers that push you down. Pushers. You don't want to go.
Oh my gosh. That was a long
story.
That's
terrible. You see, yours is backed up by events.
I guess rational, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'd never realized I would be, like, so terrified of roller coasters. I cannot do it. And everyone, and everyone and their mom is like, I love roller coasters. And I'm just, I'm not about
it. Wait, so even let's say now there actually is a roller coaster without a drop. Would you do it?
I have done a, I've actually, this wasn't a roller coaster. It was at Epcot. And it's like the space to Mars, spaceship to Mars, I think, or something.
Oh, that ride is like intense.
It's a centripetal, like it's centripetal
the thing
force.
Where you pretend to go to space. Yeah. And you feel, yeah.
Do you feel the G's? Well, I went on the green side. And oh, I didn't even see that coming. So, yeah, I went on the green side. Full circle, guys. Wow. It was terrifying.
It's like green or orange, right?
Yeah, green.
Orange is
yeah.
the more intense one. Yes. I did that one and I hated every second of
I
it.
I did the green one and I hated every second of it. God. I actually left. I was not 2 years younger of who I am today.
Oh.
And I went and I, like, I didn't even try to do this. I walked out and bawled. And my friends are like, are you okay? I'm like, I just need a second. I just need a second. Like, just give me a second. And honestly, I bawled. Like, I yeah. honestly, it was, it, there was no drops. There was no nothing. It's just,
but
geez.
That ride hurts. Like, it really hurts. I remember when I went on, I still had the illusion, not even the illusion, but like the curiosity of what it would be like to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Space is so cool, man. Kid Cudi, man on the moon, man. Like, so.
Kid Cudi.
So I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And it was me, my mom, and my sister. I was like, let's do the hardest one. Is that going to be that hard? It's Disney. And we do it. And it hurt so much. And by the end of it, I was like, they're crazy. They're all crazy.
They're psycho. Like,
what are they doing? And like, for what? I'm not going to get into that. But like, it's just too much like physical, like, I don't want to say trauma. I feel like there's a better word. Burden, physical burden.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It literally feels like it literally feels like your body is being pushed down by like thousands of pounds of weight. Like, and it's not even real. It's an illusion, which is irrational. Like, it's not even, it's all an illusion. Like, you're basically spun in a circle really fast, but you don't know. You don't know because the screen is showing you that you're going up and that you're going around the planets. And it was actually really funny because I hadn't developed a scream. Mm. So like my scream was like, like the whole time. And it wasn't even like a real scream. So my friend was laughing so hard at my scream while I was like dying the whole time.
It was an authentic scream.
It was an authentic scream, but it wasn't like fully a scream. It was all that I could gather.
It's like someone going like, ah, like
exactly.
That?
Yeah.
Mm. That is funny.
it was funny, but it wasn't funny to me.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways. So that was
good
rough.
One, Casey.
That was a lot to unwrap just for that first icebreaker.
I know. Sorry.
You got onto the deepest part of your kid. Yeah.
Childhood traumas.
Yeah. Just bringing those back up. Let's
portals
start off with
to
that.
Worlds.
Betrayal. Just all that. All right. I think this next one might be a little bit more lighthearted.
Okay.
So how about each of you guys hum a song and then the other person's going to try to guess what that song is.
Okay. Do you have a song ready?
No.
Okay, can we get like 30 seconds to think about it?
Oh,
I'll grant it.
Is that a long?
I'll grant it. It feels long.
Okay, 10 seconds.
Oh gosh, this is a really hard
one.
Okay,
I got one.
There you are.
Yep.
Celine Dion.
Yep. Yep.
Vote.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, my heart will go on.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I need a little time for that one.
You got it instantly. You just didn't remember the name.
I know. I got it. Oh, okay. There's just one song that's in my mind that it's like a. Okay, wait. Hold on. How does it go? I lost it.
Should I do one for fun?
Yeah, do one.
Do one.
Okay. All right. I think I'm ready.
Okay. Call your girlfriend? Do I know it? Do you know that I know it?
I'm sure you know. I'm positive.
Okay. Do it again. Oh. Rock Your Body, Justin Timberlake?
No.
Okay. Rock Your Body. Yeah. No, that's not Justin. That's NSYNC.
Oh, he's part
it's
of
the
it.
Whole group. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but that's like not a cool mistake. Wait. You know what I mean? That's like, lame.
Messed up.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Wrong. Keep going. Do I say it?
Just say it, yeah.
It's One More Time by Daft Punk. One more time. Da-da-da-da. Celebration tonight.
Music
celebrate.
Got me feeling
so free.
You're gonna celebrate.
Yeah, I was getting to that part.
Hey, you went for the part that has like no words. So
the whole thing is just, I just say
celebrate.
One more time.
Celebrate. Yeah.
That has the most okay. words in all the song.
Okay, I got one. Ba 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 da ba da ba 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 da ba da ba ba da.
I know. I think. Yeah. Do it again.
Da 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 da. Da, 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 da.
Beautiful voice.
Thank you.
No, but I don't know what it is.
I like how you're jamming.
Yeah.
I know it.
You know it?
I won't say it though.
I want to. It feels like a Taylor Swift song, but I don't think you like Taylor Swift. I feel I like we've don't. Talked about that before. Yeah.
Da 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 da.
Yeah. Out by the moonlit porch, open. What is it? Strike up the band and make the fireflies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Till the moon's sparkling. So kiss me. Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Good. Wow, that was fun.
I'm glad. How did you know the rest of that song, but not the kiss me part?
You have to. Yeah, I mean, you have
I just to,
like,
wanted
keep going.
To keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to it eventually.
Good. That's an excellent choice. Mine was cheap. That's fine. I know that.
I honestly, like, I look back at my playlist. I listen to this. I love Sixpence None the Richer. So I saw that song. I was like, is anyone going to get it? I don't know. But then I was like, it's a classic. Nailed it. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You nailed it.
Thank you, man.
I didn't want to guess it, but I wanted to, you know, let you guys know that I knew it.
Right. Let you know I actually won.
Thanks, yeah. Actually, for letting your friends struggle.
Okay. We have one more question.
Okay.
Kate,
are you ready?
Dale.
Mm-hmm. Am I ready? Okay. All right. If you could write a book about anything, what would it be about?
Oh, man.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
A book.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the easiest thing would be a memoir because you don't have to research anything. You're just like, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
It could be any genre.
Ooh, I know.
Go.
I would love to write a kid's book.
Mm.
And I would love to, like, illustrate the kid's book. And, like, I love anything that has to do with, like, magic and, like, forests. And, like, I was, like, you know, I love Narnia. Like, I love any kind of,
like
the Secret Garden. Yeah, fantasy stuff, like, with fairies and things like that. I would love to write a children's book that, like, dives, like, deep into, like, life principles and, like, you know, has mushrooms in there and, like, little cute little red and white little mushrooms and things. Yeah.
Well, two very different answers.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
A memoir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Just about, like, your life or?
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like if I were to write a book, it'd be about my life.
Because,
mm-hmm. Anything like I'm not very creative for like stories, I don't think. Mm. Like, and a whole book is a lot,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't,
right? But you know, like, a kid's book is like, I mean, not that it's easy work, but it's like 30 pages, you know.
Well, it depends, but yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think fiction's quite my style,
okay?
So,
nonfiction girl,
yeah. Mm. The more you know,
the more you know.
Yeah.
That ice has been broken. I think we know plenty. We've learned a lot about each other.
Yeah.
With just these three
possibly
questions.
Too much.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, are you ready to...
Shout out to Casey for mediating that.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Casey. Hey, Casey, actually, what book would you write?
I didn't expect these tables to be
I'm so
turned.
Glad you asked.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
I actually would like the opportunity to have to, like, actually research something. Like, if somebody could fund me and let me explore. Like, I think the last book I was reading was about fungi. And, cool. You know, they were a person that just went around the world researching, you know, dirt, you know, it's like impossible to see in the earth.
Wow.
So they just went around the world and did that. It was a fantastic book. I wish I remembered the name. Mm. I could look it up, but anyway, I would love the opportunity to research something and like be funded and write about what I've learned, even if the result was, I don't know, like, yeah, you know, just to show like all
I
this
still
stuff.
Don't get it.
I still yeah. don't get it. Thanks. Like, though. I've explored 1% more the of the ocean, chapter, which is
that word.
Yeah. I don't know. Nothing matters. That's kind of in line with what I, some kind of scientific maybe thing is what I'd probably want to do.
Cool. Well, yeah, so that's us in a nutshell.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready to get into the meat?
I think so.
The steak and potatoes?
Yes.
As you said earlier?
Yeah. No, I said
steak and
green potatoes, bean gravy. Yeah.
Cool. So today's episode, we're going to be talking about Eric Gilby. And so
Gilby,
he was working or is working for Vectorworks. He was not
yes,
working.
Yes, he's working. Been working
he's
for
been
Vectorworks,
working for actually. Vectorworks for a long time. Yeah. And so quick backstory. So I emailed Vectorworks and I was like, hey, guys, let's do a collaboration. And they were like, heck yeah. And then they shot back ideas. We had like a brainstorming sesh sometime in like, I can't remember now, like maybe May. And we decided to talk about, you know, something really important to us as a podcast team, which is unconventional paths through landscape architecture. And a lot of people, I think, maybe a lot of students just kind of, they don't know much about the lowercase L landscape.
I feel like we need to explain that term though.
Yes, because basically like landscape architecture, capital L, capital A, is the career, is like someone who works at a firm who makes construction
like a
documents.
Licensed landscape architect.
They can be, works. Yeah, or they can
I guess
be within,
they don't have to.
Yeah, yeah, like they can be within the field still, within the umbrella of landscape architecture career. Like they're working for a firm and they're doing ABC to get these plans out there to contractors and things like the conventional, you know, landscape architecture.
What you think
path.
Of.
What you think of, exactly.
What
think
they
of
tell like. You.
Exactly, what they tell you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so lowercase L, you know, landscape architecture is basically, in my perspective, I just think it's a broader way to describe what the ideologies of landscape architecture brings and how, you know, or it can lead you pretty much anywhere. It's just more or less like a foundation of a school of thought, I guess.
Which, by the way, we heard this term, at least I heard it for the first time, during the Labash this year at LSU. And Billy Fleming was talking about landscape architecture and how it relates to politics. And he kind of was saying like, yeah, you know, like landscape architecture as a career, as a conventional career is great, but there's so many other things you can do that isn't really advertised when you're in school. And, you know, it makes you feel like when you graduate, you're like, oh, this is what I'm here for. This is what I studied this for.
Right.
And he's like, no, you don't have to do that. In fact, it would be cooler for everyone if you diversified the field.
Yeah, I love that word, is to diversify the field, because you just don't really know. I think in a way, like, if this happens to everybody, regardless of whether you go to school for landscape architecture, accounting, engineering, computer science, all that, all it is just theoretical. It's just theoretical. Once you get into the real world, it's so, so different than what you're taught in school. And while some of the principles are really important to learn, you know, in school, and it's good to dive into it and learn about it and love it, it's in a way like it can be very underwhelming if you think that that's going to be the rest of your life, because it's not, and at least a conventional path, right? It's just very square in a lot of ways, but even within that square, there's a lot of organic diversity within that. However, I do think that if the world is opened up to you and shown, hey guys, like there are actual other separate little roads that branch off of landscape architecture that could still do what you love and in a different way. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to shut off your passions. You don't have to shut off your creativity. You don't have to shut off what you actually really like and what you're actually really good at, which may not necessarily be landscape design. You could be really good at, you know, the graphics part. You could be really, really good at, you know, communications. You could be really good at writing. Mm-hmm. You could be really good at business. Like, there's just so much, there's so many avenues from there, right, that branch off of it. And this is a very important topic for us to touch on throughout the series,
right,
of this season.
Especially podcast. As two people who have graduated recently.
Yeah.
I think we've both kind of been going through this, I don't want to say conflict, but let's say conflict, so I don't have to think of another word.
Yeah.
This conflict of like, okay, well, I studied this thing. I dedicated 5 years to this thing. I have a degree in this thing.
Yeah.
So like now I have to do this thing. But like when I saw what it actually is, it's different, mm-hmm, from what it was, you know,
right,
advertised as. Which is fine, you know, whatever. Yeah. Real life is different from school. Like, we all know that. People would say that in school all the time. Be like, oh, enjoy studio because it's not going to be like this in the real world.
Right, yeah. Remember those days?
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's disheartening when you graduate and you're like, oh, man. At least for me, a lot of people obviously go into the field and they love it. And they're like, this is exactly what I wanted. Like, yeah, I am so happy with it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's, yeah, a lot of people. Even at Labash, we saw a lot of people who were like, yeah, this is like cool and all, but do I really want to work in a firm for, mm-hmm, like 10 hours a day and not get paid, honestly, that much?
Yeah.
Like, no, you probably don't. Yeah. So, you know, it's just kind of.
And it's okay if you don't. I think that's, yeah, that's big fine. Things. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It, you don't have to feel like, at least for me, sometimes I'm like, am I just lazy? Do I just not want to work that hard?
Mm.
I don't think it's that, though. Because I'm a hard worker.
You're a hard worker,
I,
yeah,
want to.
Yeah.
So this series, well, have you brought up the series? Am I getting ahead of myself?
Well, I gave a little taste.
A little nibble.
So a little nibble. Because, mm-hmm, I also do want to say, too, is that I recently graduated and...
Whoop.
Yeah. I just actually got my, I don't know if it's called a diploma. Is it called a diploma? No, it's degree? Not right. That was in high school.
Diploma?
Degree. Thank you. Oh my God. I call it diploma. I was like, oh my God, I got my diploma. Wait, I don't think that's right. So I got my degree.
Nice.
Yeah. My master's degree.
Did you buy a frame for it?
No.
I still don't have mine framed.
Yeah. I thought about it. I was like, I think I should actually go and buy a frame.
I
because
get a frame too.
It's right there. And I literally just got, ooh, it in the mail today.
Oh my God.
And it felt pretty real. And I was like, oh, when I held it up. Mm-hmm. Took it out of the little thing and I was like, this is real. And it was cool. You know, it's a really cool like idea. The fact that you worked so hard and you poured so much time and energy into this one piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's a weird thought, you know. But now I work in the industry. And the thing is, what I really tried to do, because I've had so many people in my life like really warn me all the time, like, school is just school. The real world is different. The, mm-hmm, real world is different. And so I really tried my best to think ahead. And I talked to a lot of people. Like, I did, you know, I was a part of the Wulan Foundation. Mm-hmm. Like, I talked to a lot,
yeah,
with
you were
them.
Pretty involved.
I really tried to get a good idea of like, okay, what the heck is this about? How can I be prepared for something like this? And I'm glad that I did. Like, I'm glad that I did an internship beforehand. And so then now, like, going into it, I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm not surprised. You, mm-hmm, know, like, I'm not sure. I know what I'm getting into. And that inner person in me is like, I want to work really hard, you know, to make sure that I can be the best that I can be. But I think a lot of people are just kind of like floating and trying, mm-hmm, to figure this out. Now, I'm not saying I came prepared and, oh, I knew all the things and blah, 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 blah. No, it still didn't prepare me for the real world. And in reality, like, life hits you really hard, you know? So that's real life. That's just real life for everyone. And, but I do think that I needed to know that I had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can figure out what you like and what you're passionate about and pursue that. Or it might take you some time. You know, it might take you some time to figure out what you like. It might take some time for you to, like, dabble, you know? Maybe you can work at the 9-to-5 at a firm and figure it out. See if that's what you like. Take your time. Or do something else, you know? Like,
mm-hmm,
there's freedom for that. And I think we forget that as students.
Right. Which I think is why this interview with Eric was important mm-hmm. to us, because it showed that he worked as a landscape architect for years, and then the recession hit, and he needed to kind of find a new avenue, and he found one in like the tech world, and he's super happy with it, because in his eyes, or like he was telling us, or you really, he's now kind of a champion for the field of landscape architecture within this other world. So, you know, like, you know, he even said it, like, he has this conflict saying, like, am I still a landscape architect? Can I still say that? Like, I don't know. I haven't worked in the field in X years. Like, I don't really know what's going on. But, like, that's still a valid transition, you know? And it's, there's nothing wrong with changing your mind and your path.
And I really think it's, I think that's what's so unique to me, is that with technology as part of your, you know, unconventional path through landscape architecture, I think that that's so needed because you always think that maybe in some ways, like, you can't dabble in other things because it's not related to it.
Right.
But he's the perfect example of, yes, you can. Mm-hmm. It's that broad, you know. Yeah, it's not the perfect, you know, jack of all trades. But in a lot of ways, I think that if you're somebody who is interested in the field of technology, well, there's an outlet for you. And if you're in landscape architecture, there's a place for you. Mm-hmm. And again, like, it's just not common for landscape architecture industry, for the industry, at least that I've heard, to use BIM software, to use that stuff. Like, at least in the, you know, conventional kind of firms that I've seen, like, it's not common, but it's becoming a lot more forward thinking, a lot more just like, it's flying by. It's flying by all these old time, you know, like, softwares now.
Right.
And it's just so cool to be a part of. I really respect that. I think that doing something in technology, being, like you said, like, said so well, is that he's the champion for the industry, because he gets to say, hey guys, these are the problems. How can we solve them?
Right.
Within the field of landscape architecture. So I think that that's so, so unique and really, really important for students to know as well. We're not telling you to quit school. You know what I mean? We're not telling you to drop out.
Don't burn down the institutions.
It's okay, guys. Like, you can still go to school, still love what you do, or if you like it, obviously stay. But be patient with yourself, you know, like, take every opportunity you can to learn about other things. Like Casey, if you follow her Instagram, she does like amazing sketches and drawings, and then look at her little face getting red over there. Like, it's just awesome stuff. In fact, one of her videos has got 13,000 views. 13,000 views. Yep. So she's out there killing it with this passion that is not necessarily like landscape architecture stamped, you know? No, it's related to it. It has ties to it, all that stuff. But Casey's Casey, and she has her passion, and she loves it, and she's really good at it. And the cool thing is that, taking example from her episode, is that she really tries to be deliberate in practicing and getting better. And so I think that that's really cool. And you know, if you really are passionate about something, keep going and keep getting better at it. I think that those are some really good, you know, takeaways from his episode. At this point, we have now reached the pinnacle of this episode.
Hallelujah.
We're going to talk about our new series in season 3, and it's called the Unpaved series. So basically, in short, this series
we have that struggled so hard to really condense this concept into one single sentence.
So
strap in,
turn up that volume dial, you know, turn it up, because it's really happening. Listen. Yeah, exactly. So the Unpaved series is a series dedicated to exploring the unpaved career paths that were in some ways shaped or motivated by lowercase l landscape architecture. And this is really important, guys, because unpaved means that it's not the conventional way. This is not the path that everyone's going on, that there's these trains of people walking and getting out of these with degrees and going to firms, blah, 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 like robots. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Nope. Which is fine, you know? Yeah. Which is what I did. So there's something to be said for those who have kind of been introduced to landscape architecture, or you know, where are they now? So
right, because some of the guests that we're going to be interviewing, some of them study landscape architecture, some of them study something else and stumbled upon landscape architecture and was like, oh, that's cool. And then the people who studied it ended up doing something completely different.
Yeah.
Or this fusion between one thing and landscape architecture. And it's just really cool. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Yeah.
Once we release.
We will not say anything.
Yeah. But I think this series is very important to us as a team, because we're kind of struggling with that ourselves. Kind of like, well, what is our place in the landscape architecture world? Do we even have one? Are we just ditching it entirely?
Yeah.
Are we going to do something new? Are we going to make our own thing?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all really cool, but it's also really troubling at the same time. Yeah. It'll destroy your mental state and your confidence. So we're just going to, you know, share all of our emotions with you guys so we don't have to pay for therapy.
Exactly. It's called podcast therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it honestly, like, it really helps me too, like, hear these interviews and go back on them, listen to them, and really dissect how it came all, like, how did they get to where they are today, you know? And from the very beginning, with or without the series, the podcast has always been about, or at least the interviews themselves, always been about, who are you as a person and what decisions kind of led, like, from one thing to the next from that core, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's that core I really want to get to, because that kind of makes it all makes sense.
Right.
You know, you just want to make sense of things. And when I look at people I admire or look at people that I look up to, I'm like, Where did all that come from? Because I I think we all do this, like comparison. Like, you always want to compare yourself to that person and say, why am I not like this person? Why am I not like that person? They're doing this and they're doing that, and they're somewhere where I want to be and I'm not there. And you're constantly doing this comparison. But in reality, like, if you just remember that you're an individual and you have a core, you have reasons for why you are the way you are, mm-hmm. and the reasons why you love the things that you love, and capitalize on that, you know. And I think that's what I've learned, is that people that I've interviewed have capitalized on the things that they've learned. But the thing is, not only that, they found a really smart way to mm-hmm. make a career out of it, and that is something that I don't think people, or at least students, know, is that I think from high school you're taught, you have to find out, no, actually probably earlier, like middle school or elementary school. Like,
well, in elementary school, you're already doing like career days.
Yeah, you are? Wait.
Like,
at your elementary school? Not mine.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, career days.
Dang. That's insane.
I mean, it's not like figure it out, but it's like, oh, how do you feel about being a doctor?
I guess that's true. Yeah. Yeah. But there's always that question in elementary school, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, like, I wanted to be an astronaut.
Not after
Epcot. No. Then I saw what it took and I was like, no thanks. Yeah. And
you also
then
have to be a certain height.
What?
Yeah, like, there's physical requirements. You have to be a certain height. Your eyesight has to be a certain thing. You can't have, like, predisposed conditions.
What? Well, I'm obviously have not been qualified since birth, so.
There you go.
I've been short for forever. But yeah, I mean, I think you're just kind of taught that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And yeah, this expectation, this really weird expectation of like, how am I supposed to know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life when I can't even, like, I'm not even age. My brain's not fully developed until I'm like 25.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know, you know.
So, but I think kind of to what you're saying about how you want to hear people's stories, that's why I personally really like reading memoirs and like autobiographies.
Yeah.
Just because I mm-hmm. love seeing, like, usually I read books of people, like famous people. Right? Yeah. Michelle Obama's book was great. Mm. Matthew McConaughey's book.
Green Light.
Have you read it?
I read half of it.
Oh, it's so
I audiobooked it.
I loved that book.
The audiobook, though, in his voice.
Oh, in his voice?
Yes, he reads it.
I'm going to re-listen.
Dude, read it.
Well, listen.
Yeah, listen. It's so good.
It's so good. I love that book. I just finished Colin Jost's book. I don't know if he's on SNL. So just cool because you see what, and it's always like, oh, I always liked blank, and then like years later they're like, oh my god, blank. It's like I'm doing it again. This was always my passion.
Exactly.
And it's just cool. And I mean, in the cases of the books I've read, it's always a lot of ambition too. Like, they're always very driven,
right?
And like, but listening to their hearts at the same time, it's a beautiful thing. It's always the same too.
It's a beautiful combination.
Yeah,
it really is. That's what I'm really trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And I think that and it's also like what I was gonna say too. It's kind of the reason why I put at the title of the episodes, who is blank? Because when I don't know about you, but like every time I would look at a podcast and it would be an interview based podcast, you know, someone would be interviewed. I would only go to the people of the names I recognized. Mm-hmm. The people I didn't recognize, I would almost skip over because I'm like, I don't know this person. Like, right. I don't really know. Like,
yeah, I do that too.
Yeah. And so I kind of feel like I don't want to leave anybody out. Like, I would love for everyone to ask this question. Is like, who is this person? Like, oh, I haven't heard of this person. Like, who are they? And that's something that I really would like to, like, continue titling those episodes. Right. Like, who is this person? Who is that person?
It's inquisitive. There's an openness to it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, and then also, like, there's curiosity. There's, you know, there's, like, it sparks a question, which is always something you want. I mean, not even an interview, but like in a regular conversation.
Right.
And like getting to know somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when you're just talking to someone and they don't ask you any questions, and then you're just like you're the one asking all the questions or just answering.
Yes.
And it's just like, it's so frustrating. Why are you here then?
Why are you here? Like, do you care?
Yeah. No, why am I here?
Oh, yeah.
You're here. Yeah. For me to hear you talk, I guess.
Why are you here? Yeah, that's so true. Like, and if they don't ask you questions about you, like, yeah, I think the question is like, you know, what is it that you're trying to learn from me? Like,
right.
Are you trying to learn about me at all?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's always something that I try to achieve within those interviews, and I think that everybody has a core.
Right.
Everybody has a core, and
everyone has a story.
Everyone has a story. So besides all the things that they've done, which are cool things, you know, there's always going to be some backstory to that.
Right.
And I always remember Shay's interview and how she talked about, she always remembered sitting with her, I think grandfather or family member underneath a mango tree. And she's like, you know, that was probably like one of the very first memories that like, she had of like landscape, you know, of like being under a mango tree and enjoying that landscape with, you know, a family member. And like those little things are kind of like, to me, little trinkets.
Right.
You know, like that you can't take away. Like the career and the things that you do are all cool things. And but the little memories that make somebody somebody.
Right.
Or that makes you decide to do something because of that one little moment where nothing happened. Nothing really significant happened. You sat under a mango tree. Right. And for some reason, you remember that. So that to me is like really, really profound and special. And so those are little things I always try to look for, like in an interview. And another interview that we're going to have coming up, which is, I believe, the next episode with Nathan. And Nathan works for Earthscape. And he, I don't want to give too much away. He designs playgrounds, and he basically started as an industrial designer. And, like, he has like this pocket, like this little memory, sliver of this memory that I won't say. I'm just going to wait until you guys hear it and hope maybe that you guys will hear it.
And be like, oh my God, this is what she was talking about.
Exactly.
This is the trinket.
Yeah. So like this one little part, and I was like, oh man. And like a part of me kind of wants to dig a little deeper, you know, and be like, oh, tell me every detail, you know. But I'm like, no, that's not what this is about. You know, we kind of jump off of that. But those little things are just so important. So all that to say, with the Unpaved series, we're really trying to just capitalize on what these people, person's passions are, and how they made a living off of that, and how they were able to find it, you know.
Right.
As and I think as possible.
Kind of going back to the trinket
idea,
something I have noticed as I get older is that, at least for me, even strangers, you know, sometimes strangers could be a certain way. Like sometimes you meet weird people, or like people are rude to you for no reason.
Yeah.
And you're like, why are you like this? But then you really think about it and it's like, you have a whole story that I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, if you were my cousin, I'd be like, oh, you know what? He's being this way because blah, 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 blah. And you know what? And then you're kind of like, well, I'm going to forgive it because I know
you have the context.
Like exactly.
Yeah, you have context.
But with strangers, you don't have that context.
Yeah.
And so it's very easy to judge a stranger and be like, oh, this dude sucks. This dude's blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like, this girl, why is she so quiet? Like, what's her problem?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's so easy.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's part of what you're saying of like, there's a whole person inside of the shell that you see.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
And it is a very powerful thing.
Yeah. I think with Eric's interview in particular, he had some really good moments, and maybe we can start going into like the specific takeaways that we learned from. But at least for me, like he talked about, you know, people graduating and finding out that like this profession isn't what they thought it was going to be, or that they didn't want to do it. I've always wanted to be like a career coach sometimes. Not that I'm like all that great to be a career coach, but it's just like sometimes I can see how people get deflated. You know, they get like so deflated. And they're like, oh, this is like, I waste so much time or whatever. But you're just never really taught to like think bigger.
Right.
You know, and like, or even how to market yourself through your resume.
Right.
You know, or like, again, like capitalizing on the things that you're really good at, and all that stuff is very, very important for any kind of person hiring, because they need to know who you are. Like, you're a dynamic person. You're not just a person on a paper.
And I think that's kind of a new thing, though.
Yeah.
Because I think, let's say 40 years ago, no one cared about who you were as a person. Mm-hmm. I would assume it was probably like, oh, you got the highest GPA and you type really fast and you know how to calculate all these things. And that's just kind of it,
right.
Which I think is also part of the problem, or part of the dilemma that a lot of people are in now, is like there's so many more opportunities, especially with the internet, that people are like, wait, there are so many different lifestyles that I could choose from.
Yeah.
Like those people that work online and move around the world, or, you know, have their own business that they just started. Like they just started blogging. I don't even know how that works.
Yeah.
You just start a blog and then you start making money. And it's just like, there's so many things that you can do that, like that idea, that like 50s idea of like, oh, you gotta go and join the work labor, you know, workforce.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like not appealing anymore, and I think that's kind of part, but we still have that guilt of like, well, I have to go to, like, I have to work, I have to, you know, I have to show up, I have to do this thing, but it's like, but I don't really have to anymore. So I think that's kind of part of it, like culturally there's, I think, a shift in work culture, and it's creating a lot of friction, I think, for like the new generations coming out.
I wonder, like, and this might be like way off topic, but the thought that came to my mind is, do you think that maybe like this might be influenced from like Europe, or like how Europeans kind of work and go on like siesta, or you know, relax a little bit more and enjoy their lives, but also still make an income as well? Because I think that's a big part of like why so many people are trying to go into that direction, because they're missing out on life in a lot of ways. Because when you're trying to do like the 9 to 5 or the 60-hour work weeks, or sometimes, which is like, I don't even know why we'd ever do like 70-hour work weeks, I heard. I've heard people doing that. And like, you miss such a big part of like your life, living your life. What about doing something that you love and still making something out of it. And
I don't think that that's from Europe, though. Like, right now, like, Europe has always done that, right?
Yes.
That's
always kind of a thing.
I think it's a combination, and also Europeans don't necessarily live the way we do in the U.S. It's like a very different.
It's so different. Yeah.
Yeah, like they make money, they survive, but it's not kind of the same.
It's not the same.
Yeah, but
yeah, you're right about that.
I think it's a combination of the rise of the internet and COVID. So I think when COVID was like everyone go remote, you know, because you had to, and you kind of had to adapt to this new thing.
Right. Yeah.
That then they're like, oh wait, working remote rules. I don't want to go back to an office where I have to drive every day, wait in traffic, sit next to my boss, have him like talking my ear about who knows what. You know.
Yeah.
It's more. I don't know if it's more efficient, quite frankly, but remote life is just more comfortable.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that is definitely a part of it. And then I think the rise of like influencers and TikTokers and
that's true.
All of that.
Yeah, and how easily accessible that is. Like, anybody could do that.
Yeah.
It's so easy now.
Right.
It's hard, but it's easy.
It's hard, but it's easy. It's simple, but it's hard.
Yeah, it's simple, but it's hard, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, is that in the direction of, like, you know, COVID and what happened there, and, like, now people have to, having to rethink careers. And I definitely think that... even working remotely, which is so odd because all it does is just change the location of your work. It just made such a big shift in people actually wanting to be relaxed and enjoy things.
But it's so nice. Like, I work remotely and it's like I wake up, I have breakfast, I like have my chat open, I'm eating. Like, it's
not.
Yeah,
it's great.
I'm not rushing out the door to be there to do the same thing, but like to look like I'm.
Yeah.
You know, to look more presentable, you know, which is important. But
yeah.
If I'm working from home, I'm going to eat my breakfast while I.
Yeah.
While I'm in the meeting.
Yeah. I don't eat breakfast. I just go while I'm in the meeting. Yeah. I don't eat breakfast in the mornings.
No.
I go straight to work.
Do you have coffee or something?
Yeah. I have an espresso. I make a little espresso.
Have you ever made overnight oats?
Really would like to get to that point in my life to do that.
Yeah, no, it's like super
every time
quick.
I come home, I'm like, ugh, and then I always forget to do it. But I hear that it's incredible.
Yeah, it'll change your life because you don't have to think about it. And it literally takes like 3 minutes to do the night before. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a good recipe. I'll send it to you. Even though like it's kind of freestyle, but.
Can you please send it to me actually?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, you know. Again, like I'm you know, I'm fine with it. I signed up for it. I know like this is okay, this is what it takes for me to get to where I would like to be, then I'll do it. But like, you know, going to work and for me, and this might be, you know, and this is just me in particular, but like I like working remotely. I really like it. But I also like going into the office and dressing up for the office and making a life thing and a work thing,
a balance.
You know, like just two different things, and you end up actually collaborating a lot when you're working in the office with people. But now with the pandemic happening, those, you know, 2 years ago in the lockdown, it's been a lot easier to communicate over the phone, like and it's always been that way, but now it's like, okay, I can just call this guy. He's in like a whole other thing. He's in a whole other state, and I can give him a call. No big deal. And I can talk this out. I can do this. I can do that. And it's made it so much easier.
Right.
So I think there's a possibility, you know, there's definitely open doors to working remote, but I do like working in the office.
Yeah. Remote work can never replace the social aspect of going into an office and being with your coworkers and like, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's important, too. And getting dressed is also nice.
Yeah,
I mean, I get dressed when I'm in
my
house.
Yeah, exactly. You have to make the transition in your brain.
Yeah.
Like, but I also think, too, like, going back to what we were saying about why the transition and why, you know, do people now see the benefit of marketing yourself or doing something that you enjoy doing and not being, like, quote-unquote, chained to a desk, you know? I just think that, like, there's really nothing necessarily, like, wrong with wanting to do the desk thing. However, there's always, you know, freedom to be able to find it is that what you like to do.
Right.
And there's always going to be something there, but you're never taught how to find it.
Which I think, sorry to interrupt.
No, yeah.
But which I think is why work-life balance is so important too. Because if you're drowning in work, then obviously you're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to paint today.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be too tired to paint. I'll tell you right now.
I am.
Yeah.
Too tired to paint.
Yeah. So giving your, like, having a job that respects your time. It's just, if work is supposed to be like the bulk of your life, you know what I mean? Like, theoretically, like, it should be pleasant. And it shouldn't be like a chore.
100%.
And it shouldn't be like if you ask your boss for, I don't know what example to put, like Fridays off. I don't know, just to say something. Like, it shouldn't be like a judgment of your character or like a big deal. But like, on the other hand, as a boss, of course, you want your employees to work more and all that. So it's a complicated issue.
It is very complicated. Mm-hmm. And you have to kind of negotiate. I would imagine, you know, you'd have to negotiate and figure out like how you would do something like that. How can you prove to your boss that, hey, this is worth doing. I'm still a good employee. I can still perform really well if I don't work, you know, whatever, on Fridays. Right. But either way, like, I do think that you should be able to like what you do. And there's outlets and there's ways to do that. And there's things for me that I try to do to remind myself of why I went to school, landscape architecture. Like, I have like a bunch of books about landscape architecture, and it's not like I go through and read all the books word for word. I'm a skimmer. I like to skim. So, and I'm also like, I love photography books. Like, I buy, you know, specific books of photographers that actually go to gardens from all over the world and like takes pictures. I have one called Under the Skies. I have another one called Adventures in Eden. Oh. Like, those are all big, thick photography books that take gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous pictures and imagery of gardens and of people's designs. And those things really inspire me.
I love a garden.
Yeah. Like,
I would love to do like a tour of like, I don't know, any type of garden, like English gardens, Italian gardens, French gardens. Like, just.
Yes.
I want to do that because they're so peaceful and they're so, so beautiful.
And they're so intentional.
Uh-huh.
I love,
and they're also
colorful.
Different.
And they're different. And like, what I've been trying to do now is like, I've been trying, like, Amazon Prime actually has like great documentaries about like landscape designers, like a few. Mm. And there's just one I actually learned of. Her name is Beatrix Ferrand, and she was the first female landscape architect or landscape designer, I guess. And she
the
went
the first,
I think the first, yeah,
like ever.
Mm-hmm. Beatrix Ferrand. This was way back in the day.
Like, what, the 60s?
No, like, way further? Back. Like, way, way back. I think, like, 1800s or something.
Oh, is she French? No.
No, she's, I think, English.
Wait. Okay, no, I don't know then.
Yeah.
Because there's a movie about something kind of like that, but I don't know the name of it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Where she did, like, Versailles Gardens.
Yes, that's what it is.
So apparently that's not, like, a real person.
God.
I know. I have to get the name of the
movie. That was a beautiful
movie.
My mom was like, you need to watch this movie. She loves period pieces. She's like,
you
would love this movie.
I love period movies. I love them too. I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it's really good. But no, yeah, she's not real apparently.
God, that sucks.
I know.
Okay, but Beatrix. Yes.
Beatrix. Beatrix Ferrand. And there's like a whole foundation that she has and like all this stuff is crazy. But, like, she went through a lot, especially as, like, a woman within the field that was predominantly men. And it's funny because I didn't even know landscape architecture was still around. Like, I didn't even know it was a thing. But I guess, obviously, it was a thing since
gardens
forever.
Are old. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really old profession. I had no idea. Well, I guess I never really thought about it. But anyway, so it was a really great documentary about her. I would highly recommend it. And I saw another one about this guy who designed this French garden, who's like a French Canadian. And, you know, and I saw like another one about, well, I saw actually this one about an architect, but still, like, you can learn things that are not at work, you know?
Yeah.
And I try to do that just to get the taste for it. And I was at a friend's house and she was babysitting her sister's kids. And they wanted to draw. And so I was like, oh, yeah. And it was after work. And I was exhausted. Mm. So she just gives me a paper and a pencil, which I have not held a pencil, like a yellow, like lead pencil, like a long time. And I was like, I feel this. And I just started like sketching her backyard because I could see it from like the dining room table. And I'm sketching it. And they're like, oh my God, that's so nice. I'm like, I wasn't even thinking. Oh, wow. But I just loved doing it. And I wasn't thinking of it at all. I was just sketching and sketching. And I was thinking about was like the people that inspired me that have done sketches a certain way, the pictures I've seen, like all that stuff was kind of flooding through my mind, but very like just
blank. Like,
yeah, like just, yeah. It was kind of rolling in. I wasn't like thinking, you know, it was like,
right.
And there were like these crayons that look like egg shaped crayons.
Oh.
And it was cute. And I colored with them and I was like, oh, yes, whatever. And I added some stuff. And it was like a really cool sketch. And I was like, I never sketched this sketch before.
Do you have a picture of it?
I don't have a picture. No, I have to see if she can send me one. But it was like a really simple little thing. But I didn't realize how it like when you're, you know, getting a palette for those things, you don't realize how your brain is picking up those things. And if you're practicing it, you can actually get better at those things. Mm-hmm. So I would love to, like, I had this whole list. Like, I would love to be a sketch artist. I would love to be a landscape photographer. I would love to, like, you know, do all the things. And I'm slowly but surely just trying to get there.
Yeah. Do you ever go out and take pictures? Do you do that a lot?
Yeah, I really try, especially like these past couple of trips I've taken.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Guatemala, and then I went to Bach Tower Gardens, and then I don't know where else I went where I took pictures, but I really loved it. It's just something I really enjoy.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and that's again, good. Like, yeah, I get like inspiration from certain people. Like, there's this one lady that I follow on Instagram too, but she actually does garden tours in England.
Ooh.
And they're called CareX Tours. And her name is Carolyn Mullett. She's the author of Adventures in Eden book. She's a retired garden designer and compiles all these beautiful, beautiful images of these gardens and things like that. So I would love to be like her someday. And we are going to have a photographer guest and a sketch artist.
Oh, really? Wait, who's the photographer?
Rob Hill.
Oh.
He takes photos of the underline.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, he's really cool.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm really excited. All that to say. Do what you love, guys.
Do what you love. Love what you do.
Love what you do.
Yeah.
Do what you
love. Well, everyone.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining. Get ready for the series, Unpaved.
Yes.
The series. It's going to be good. It's going to be more of this.
We're really, really excited. And we're, like, honestly, this is probably going to be the best season yet. We're going to have a lot of great guests.
Yeah.
Tune in next Friday for the next interview. We're really excited about it. And we can't wait for you guys to hear more. Please do not forget to leave a rating and a review.
Please.
Guys, we need to know how we're doing. And so please leave a rating and a review wherever you listen to podcasts. We'd love to hear your feedback. And like us on Instagram at the Greenside Pod. Please check out our beautifully designed website that Casey Parales made, thegreensidepodcast.com.
Yup.
And yep. What the heck else am I missing? I don't know.
I think
that's it. Subscribe, follow.
Yeah.
Hit the like button. No,
smash that.
Smash that subscribe smash button. That. Well, guys, keep hugging trees
and stay on the green side. Woo!